in chapter number 3 this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Been thinking, praying for the service throughout the day today, and I know the Lord wants us to take an opportunity real quick tonight. If anybody has a testimony, just want to share. I haven't done that in a while. If anybody has a testimony you'd like to share tonight, just slip your hand up. Well, I know the Lord wants me to ask, so. I'm sure you're all deciding who will go first, so real quick. Brother Harris, will this be your, do you know your schedule yet? If you'll be here Thursday or? Not sure. Okay. So, say your possible goodbyes to the Harrises too, alright? And tonight, I just thought about that while I was sitting up here. And so, but there's a chance they'll still be here Thursday. There's some things they have to wrap up before they leave. But so, but I don't want that to go by. Keep them in prayer this week. Just the Lord's direction. So I can't tell you how much it's just been a blessing to have the Harrises home. And as a pastor, it's just been a blessing. So he just stepping up during invitations and counsel, and I love him very much, and thank the Lord for him. So, anyone want to give a testimony tonight? Stacy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for answered prayer. Amen. Brother Sutherland? Mm-hmm. He got a job? Amen. He requested prayer for his friend Robert to get a job. He got a job. Amen. Got to praise the Lord. It's a good thing. Brother Jake? Praise the Lord. Amen. God's good. Amen. Crystal. Going to share your story. So, go ahead. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Anyone else? Yes, Miss. Is that Amanda? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a gift from God. So amen. Amen. Brother Wada? Been a blessing to us. Let me just say it. So, in so many ways, I thank the Lord. Anyone else? Yes, sir, Brother Huggins. Amen.
Amen.
And we are very glad for every one of those 15. So amen.
Praise the Lord.
It's been a huge blessing.
So amen.
Anyone else? Yes, Brother Jordan. Miss Daniels. Amen. Amen. You are a gem, Miss Daniels. Praise the Lord for you. Amen. Anyone else? Miss Christina. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Amen. Zach? Amen. Amen. I love you, Zach. Anyone else? Brother Tyler? Keep them in their prayers. But amen.
Amen.
It's not before the Lord comes back. I don't know how the next year or so is going to be, but it's not going to get better. We're going to take a stand in the days ahead. So praise the Lord for them. Anyone else? Yes, Ms. Davis. Say, don't tell Jason this, but I saw a picture of him, and I was like, Jason's putting it on, man. Yeah, all right. Can I say that? I did. Oh, no? My wife said no. I can't? All right. Don't tell Jason. Yeah. Go ahead and tell Jason. I don't care. He owes me a lot still. It's all right. So. Okay. Keep Brother Davis's mom, please, in your prayers. Wow, okay. Brother Napier? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Anna? Amen. It's exciting, so praise the Lord. Anyone else? Brother Ricky?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Davis.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. It changes us. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Anyone else? Last chance. All right, well, let's look at our text, please, in 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 3. We're looking at this chapter. And in verses 1 through 5, we studied Paul's concerns. And then in verses 6 through 10, we studied last Sunday Paul's comfort. We're going to look at verses 11 through 13 tonight and wrap up this chapter. We see Paul's commitment. Let's read these verses. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 11. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the time of testimony tonight. Lord, thank you that you are a God to be praised. In every great thing and every good thing and every answered prayer and every reason for smiling that is mentioned tonight is all because of you. And we praise you for that, and we love you, and we thank you, God, for loving us. The Lord bless this message and the Word of God. I pray that, Lord, your Son would be lifted up, and Lord, as again, you teach us your Word. Open our hearts. Open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and may we behold wondrous things tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's look at this real quick. Paul's commitment. There's three things in these last few verses of chapter number 3. Paul refers to that he is committed to. In verse number 11, I want you to see that he's committed to the ruler of his life. Now again, Paul had just said in these few verses that he had sent Timothy to establish them, and he wanted to be there. He wished he could be there, but God and the devil was hindering, and God didn't allow it at this time. But he had been praying for them exceedingly. He had been going to the Lord on their behalf. But in verse number 11, it says, "Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you." Understand that what Paul's saying is this: I would love to be there, but God doesn't want me to. He was showing his submission to the ruler of his life. As much as he wanted to go to them, he knew that his life was not to be directed by himself. It was to be directed by God. You see a couple things in this verse real quick. You see the deity of Christ, and I love this in verse number 11. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, other epistles, he will talk about the deity of Christ, and here in this short, I know it's, you know, the context is talking how the Lord hadn't directed his way there, but even to them and the young believers there at Thessalonica, he puts as right there, you know, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not inferior to God. They are one. Amen. And Jesus is God. And I know everyone knows that, and, you know, probably didn't even feel the urge to amen that, but the fact is, it should be amen because half the world doesn't believe that. And most of your cults do not believe that. And matter of fact, the Bible tells us in 1 John that that's the way of telling those that are Antichrist, they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so we tonight rejoice in the fact that Jesus is God. Amen? That He is. You know, you say, well, He's the Son of God. He is. But He is God. He's equal with God. And He mentions this here in the deity. I love the fact that He mentions God, our Father. I wrote next to that, He is our compassionate Sovereign. He is God. He is sovereign. But He's our Father. He has compassion on us. I know we've preached a lot on that on Thursday nights, but my friends, you and I ought to stand up and rejoice tonight that He's not just a God that cannot be touched or has no feelings for us. He is not just God, but He is our Father. He loves us. He watches over us. He takes care of us. He provides for us. He knows all these things. There's been quite a few prayer requests I've been going to the Lord about, and finally the Lord, I think it was on Thursday, as I was praying for these things, God, and studying and looking over the message, God hit me all of a sudden with just this passage and passages we're studying. It says, "Whoa, Travis, I'm your Father. I know. And I'm going to take care of it." He's our Father. Anytime that my kids ever come to me with a need, not a want, but something they need, of course I'm going to take care of it. Of course I am. And I got a God in heaven that can do anything. And He's my Father. And He'll take care of us. He's a compassionate sovereign. But then it mentions here, and our Lord Jesus Christ. I wrote next to that, complete salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, Master, Jesus, Savior, Christ, the promised one. He is everything. He is our salvation. Amen. So He is here, Paul mentions, he's committed to the rule of his life. You see the deity here, but then I also want you to note that he is the director. It says in that verse, "He direct our way unto you." Our direction, and again, I know I'm picking these verses apart, but that's what we're supposed to do, is study the Word of God, rightly dividing. Amen? And so here it says, he directed him. And we all can agree with that, obviously. God was directing Paul's steps. No one would argue that. But it's in the Scripture, because you and I need to stop tonight before we go any further. Is He directing my steps? Is He directing your steps? A lot of times we let our will direct our steps. Or we let our emotions direct our steps. Or we even let our intellect direct our steps. We even try to figure things out ourselves. You and I have a responsibility to let the Lord direct our steps. We mentioned it this morning, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I talked about 1 Thessalonians and there in that passage of Scripture, how what it is to be good and how to follow the will of God. And the fact is this, that as you and I respect the Lord and we revere the Lord and we recognize Him as the ruler of our lives, He will direct us. So I want guidance. Then let God direct your life. And so you see here, he is committed to the rule of his life. In verse number 12, he is committed to the reward of his love. Verse number 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Paul hadn't been directed to come to them yet. Most believe that on his third missionary journey, he would have stopped there. But he hadn't come to them yet. And so while Paul recognized God hasn't directed me there yet, I do have some counsel for you, Thessalonica. And the Holy Spirit had it written and added to our Bibles, because this counsel is for us too tonight. We should be committed to the ruler of our life. We should let Him direct our steps. But not just that, but you see here the exercise, it says again, the reward of His love. And notice, first of all, in verse number 12, He wanted them to exercise love. It says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another." To increase and abound. If we're going to increase and abound in anything, you have to exercise it. If you want big muscles, you're going to have to exercise it. If you want them to increase and abound. You're all looking at me weird, right? Every young man in this room knows what I'm talking about. Because every time you walk by a mirror, you're doing one of these. Right? Flexing, looking, all right? You know, I hear boys all the time saying, I'm going to get ripped, right? I'm going to get buff. Alex is leaving, all right? He's going to go. He's going to play baseball. I guarantee. They're going to work him hard, right? Aren't they, Alex? Yeah, all right? They're going to work him hard, all right? You know, he's already a pretty stout young man. You know, you wait. After college training, you'll be ripped, man. All right, yeah. Can I say that in church? No, I can't. All right, that's twice, all right? But the only way that's going to happen is he's got to exercise daily. He's going to have to work hard. And what Paul tells to the church here is, I want you to increase and abound in love. So how do you increase and abound in love? You have to love. Look who he says to love in this verse. It says there, in love, one toward another. Did I tell you something? God wants us to love each other. God wants us to love the saints of God. Amen? He wants you to love each other. Now, I don't know what your hesitation is tonight, but we'll find out, right? God wants you to love each other. God wants you to share that love. Can I tell you how to love each other? Help each other? Give to each other? Encourage each other? The Lord laid it upon our hearts this week to do care packages. They were a blessing. Encouraged many, many hearts this week. And everyone that participated in that, thank you so much. And if you want to do it again next week, we still have. We got more. We can do it again. If you didn't do it last week and you want to do it this week, let's do that. Practice, increase, and abound in love. It's one thing for me to say the Bible says to love one another. And it does. Amen? But it's one thing for me to say it, but the only way we're going to increase in it and abound in it is if we exercise it. We need to show it. I appreciated some of the testimonies, and you know, I know Brother Ricky's on my mind right now. He thanked those who he's seen faithful and hadn't missed church since the day he was born, right? He's seen them here each and every week. Thank people. Share that love with people. Find ways to, and get an opportunity to let people know that you love them. Share that love with each other. Warn them when they're wrong. If they're starting to stray, warn them. And if someone warns us, be thankful that they love you enough to tell you. But part of loving each other is not just patting each other on the back and say it's going to be okay. If someone's wrong, correct them. In love. Another way to show love is to be patient and to listen. Listen. Take the time to listen to each other. We got quite a few fellowships. Tonight, meeting, going to fellowship next door before Alex leaves. Next Sunday night is Lillian's last Sunday night. We're going to sit and we're going to fellowship and rejoice with Lillian. The following Sunday night, we're all going back for a feast of charity. You say, well, that's an awful lot. Well, we all been cooped up a long time. We need to spend time with each other. Because we need each other. We need one another. Because what happens when we don't have each other, we begin to spiritually forget the importance of the church and importance of each other, and our eyes start to get... And because I know, praise the Lord, some are just like, well, you know, I'm sound and wonderful, and praise the Lord, you've been faithful through it all. But there are those that maybe haven't matured. They're in danger. And I'm not saying that, you know, there may be some that haven't been saved that long. We need to reach out to them. Some of our elderly may need encouragement. Reach out to them. We've been doing that this week, but show love to the saint. But also look at verse number 11. If we're going to increase and abound in love, not just to the saint, I'm sorry, verse number 12, but also toward all men. Don't just love the saint, love the sinner. Now we purposely, and I promise, I know this is probably hard to believe, but when the Lord laid on my heart to do the care packages, I had not yet outlined the rest of this chapter. And so, you know, I can say that before the Lord. You know, but as I see this and I see the steps there, and I thank the Lord, we followed the Lord. And we did that last week. Can I encourage you to take another step now? This week, that lost neighbor, that lost coworker, that person that you've built a relationship with, maybe the same person hands you that coffee every morning from a drive-thru. I don't know. But they know you. And they're not saved. Do something for them this week. Go out of your way. Go out of your way to share God's love with them. I mean, the Bible says we're supposed to love each other, amen, and all men. A lost world's never going to see the love of the Lord if we keep it hidden in our lives. I'll remind you, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one towards another. Love each other and share that love. I'm not asking you to do anything that the Lord Jesus Christ did not do. He spent time with the disciples. He spent time with his followers. But you will find him repeatedly sharing love with a lost sinner, touching people who did not deserve to have his healing touch, meeting needs with people that didn't deserve it. But he did. That love is important, and we need to share that love. Do something. Do something. We'll say more about it in a little bit. But exercise love, and then you see the example of love. At the end of verse number 12, he says, now he tells them, I want you to increase and abound in love. All right, so you've got to exercise this love. But at the end of verse number 12, he gives them the example of love, even as we do toward you. He said, I need you, I want you, I counsel you to love people. Love the saints and love the sinners. Reach out to them. Share love with them. Just, ready? Like we did to you. I stopped and I thought about Paul's life, and we're almost done with the message. You can see that. But look over in Acts chapter number 6. I want you to see something real quick. When we read in Acts chapter number 6, Paul was not Paul. Paul was Saul. Paul was a heathen. Paul was a lost man, a persecutor of believers. But in Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. But this group got together and they began to challenge Stephen. Stephen begins to preach to them and he tells them the truth. He preaches the truth. Did you know in that crowd was a man that hated Stephen? A man that did not agree with anything Stephen was saying. But Stephen kept on preaching and kept on sharing these things. In verse number 15, it says, and all that sat in the council. You know who one of those persons were? That was Saul. Looking steadfastly in him, saw his face as if it had been the face of an angel. This is not when they were stoning Stephen. He was preaching to them. He was telling them the truth. You know what Saul saw? He didn't see an angry preacher. He didn't see someone who was losing their temper. That was the face of an angel. Stephen cared about them. And he told them the truth, and he preached to them the truth. And then you get to chapter number 7, his entire sermon that he preaches there. Go all the way to verse number 58. We know what happened. They got mad. They didn't want what Stephen had to say. It says in chapter 7, verse number 58, they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now, look at verse 60. And he, this is Stephen, kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Saul watched this. In chapter number 8, verse number 1, Saul was consenting unto his death. Saul gave his approval. He saw this. He saw this man with the face of an angel. And even as he died, asking God to have mercy on them. You get to a point, turn over to Acts chapter number 22. And I want you to see something real quick. Then we'll go back and wrap this up. In Acts chapter 22, Saul, of course, got saved. He became a tremendous, if not the greatest missionary. Amen. Did a tremendous work, and we're thankful for him. He's standing and he's testifying and giving an account of his life in Acts chapter number 22 and in verse number 19, Acts 22:19. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue, and them that believed on thee, when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. He never forgot. He never forgot. There's a lot of things we could preach on that he never forgot. But one of the things that he didn't forget is, here's this man who spoke with the face of an angel and told me the truth. And even though I wasn't listening and I consented unto his death, he asked God to have mercy on me. Can I tell you something real quick? Love had helped win Paul to the Lord. If Stephen would have got up and got angry and thrown rocks back at him and said, God, you slay every one of them, I don't know the story is the same. But this lost man named Saul watched as God's love just flowed through this man. And it helped win him. And now, back in our text, we see that that love that helped win Paul was what Paul was using to help win them. He had shared this love with them in a way that he had told them the truth and fellowshiped with them. They were persecuted for the Lord's sake, but he pointed them to the Lord and said, it's going to be all right. He helped them. He invested in them. He showed them love. Can I encourage you tonight, Kazata Baptist Temple, that if there's another family in this church that at the mention of them you roll their eyes and say they think there's something special or they have this or that, can I tell you, you need to get right with God tonight? If there's someone, as I told my Sunday school class this morning, because I told you the first lesson in living a good life from 1 Thessalonians 5 was follow the pastor. The second lesson was to fellowship peacefully with your brothers and sisters in the church. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13, the second half. If there's someone within the church that you're not right with or that you have a problem with, you need to get it right tonight. Amen. If there's someone that you ridicule and tear down every time they're mentioned, you're wrong. We've all been guilty of it. I'm not asking, have you ever been guilty? Because we all have been. I'm saying if there is, and you haven't gotten it right, get it right. Share that love. And love each other, and then love the sinner. How should I love the sinner? In the same way that God loved you, and in the same way that before you got saved, there was some believers that loved you too. Share that. Paul said, I want to see your love increase and abound. It will only happen if you love, love, love. I am so thankful for the standards of our church. I am thankful for the doctrinal stand of our church. I am thankful for all those who are so faithful. But I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If you do it without love, 1 Corinthians 13, it's in vain. It's in vain. If you do it without love, you can get up and be a master speaker. Without love, you're just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Paul said you can go and give and do all these wonderful things, but without love, it profiteth you nothing. That's what he said. No wonder he said, church, love. Share God's love. He was committed to the reward of his love. Number three, and we're done. He was committed to the return of his Lord. In verse number 13, to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. You see, in this one verse, there's two thoughts, and we're done. Number one, a process that is ongoing. To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. That's a process that I hope is going on in every one of our lives. That we are learning holiness, we are learning our hearts are becoming more and more like Him. 1 John says the same thing in chapter number 3. As we approach the day and the return of Christ, our lives should be becoming more like Christ. And praise the Lord, when He does appear, we shall be like Him. But there should be an ongoing sanctification, if you will. And to the end, we got a destination we're heading to. There's goals. There's where we're heading. May our hearts be established unblameable in holiness. The church there had some things to work on. Their hearts were being established. Because at the Baptist Temple, your pastor has some things the Lord's working on. And every member of Kazadda Baptist Temple, the Lord should be working on some things in your life too. So that we can become more like Him. Because you see this process that's ongoing, but a promise that will occur at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. He is coming. He's coming. And when He comes, He's coming with the saints. There'll be a rapture. It's the term that we've put to it. And even at that point, He's coming in the clouds, which, by the way, could be tonight. Could be today. And if that were to occur tonight, He would come there in the clouds with the saints. Oh, what a reunion that would be, amen. What a reunion that'd be. There are some people I can't wait to see again. It's going to be a great reunion someday. And I'm glad that when He comes, He doesn't leave everybody behind, and we'll catch up with them later. They're coming with Him. We'll meet each other in the air. Amen. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's coming immediately. I don't know when, but it's coming soon. Then after that, it will be the return of Christ. At that point, it won't just be in the clouds, but He will come and rule and reign from the earth. And we will come with Him. Knowing this, Paul says, this is the end. This is where we're heading. You need to share love. You need to do right. And Paul said, I'm so thankful for you. Would you increase and abound in love? Follow the Lord. It's in the Word of God, because the same thing is for you and I tonight. Let God direct your life. Increase and abound in love. Because the Lord's coming back. And may He establish our hearts. Let's pray. Father, Lord.